cliffcentral.com.
Hard for the money, Monday morning.
It's a good start to the week. Yeah?
Right, absolutely. How was the close of markets of Friday?
Yeah, our market, not great. We were about 0.5% down on Friday. For the week, marginally higher, really not much. Mm-hmm. Global markets, something else though. US stocks higher again on Friday. You know, last week, at I think it was Monday, the Dow Jones had its 12th consecutive straight positive close. I mean, I don't think that's happened in decades. Have we spoken about animal spirits yet?
No.
Oh, okay. So rather remiss of me, because if you had read any Bloomberg article, you'll see everyone talking about this thing called animal spirits back in the market again. So it's a term coined by John Maynard Keynes to describe the buying behavior of investors to indicate their herd-like mentality. And, yes. And it's to drive, he says the market needs it, or investors need it, to drive buying in a strong bull market. And basically a little bit of irrational exuberance, a little bit of that.
Okay.
So everywhere you look, animal spirits, and it feels like animal spirits are back in the US markets. Europe's still a bit mixed, and then Asia was mostly lower on Friday. China's an interesting one because they kicked off their annual political consultative conference on Friday. So all the pomp and ceremony on Friday and Saturday, and then yesterday they started talking more seriously. Quite a few things coming out there. The government's obviously worried about debt levels in the country. They've got rising non-performing loans, which is obviously an issue. So what they've done previously is they've just put lots of cash into the system to keep the economy going. And, you know, last year they were targeting 6.5% to 7% GDP growth. I think this year, and I don't think they've actually solidified the number yet, but I think it'll be lower. And I think it'll be between 6 and 6.5, which of course will get everyone worried because China's slowing down, you know, that sort of thing, like slowdown of 6% annual GDP growth. Not terrible, I don't think. And they're also targeting lower retail sales numbers, which keep increasing by about 10%. And then the debt to GDP ratio is a big worry at 260%. So 260% debt of GDP. Yeah. The other thing, of course, is that I think China is really concerned about kind of hitting their targets. You know, when they set something, they don't want to look bad if they miss it. So I have a feeling that maybe, hopefully, that this lower forecast GDP number will be met or maybe even exceeded.
All right.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyway, back to our market. Resources down. Gold absolutely got smashed on Friday, but they have been the whole week. Now that we are expecting interest rates in the US to increase in March, and I think Janet Yellen's actually alluded to the fact that she will raise interest rates if she keeps seeing growth. Obviously, golds are coming off. It's always a play between income generating assets, you know, and obviously you'd rather own dollars and put it in the bank if interest rates are going up than owning gold. In fact, you're actually paying, because you're paying something called storage for gold. But calculating the price of gold, I mean, I'm actually not sure why we even bother to have that formula. Sibanye Gold got hit as well on Friday. It was down 3%. There's news out that they were being investigated by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. over the Stillwater mine that they're buying. So all this is going to do is delay that deal. There's not much news on it other than to say that they're being investigated.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye.
Yeah. And then stronger rand again helped the financials and the retailers. This rand, I actually really don't understand it, how it could be stronger when the president on Friday was talking about land reform without compensation. It makes no sense to me. 13.05 against the dollar currently. So We'll see. And it's not like we've had good economic data either. On Friday, well, maybe this is considered good economic data. You can decide. On Friday, we had the SA PMI number come out, which is the Purchasing Managers Index, right? And it's an indication of how things are growing. And we had manufacturing PMI come out on Tuesday or Wednesday last week. And it was quite a good number. It was a kind of the second good number. SA PMI, sort of for the country, was a little bit disappointing, 50.5. So 50 is neutral. Anything above 50 is good. It's
they could give us was 0.5
exactly.
In the positive?
Exactly.
Oh my
God,
really?
That's kind of my take on it. That's it. It is the sixth consecutive month that it is above 50. But like, look at it, 0.5 above 50.
Yeah.
So negligible. It's like the market and economists are like hanging on to every last thread of hope, like no matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, granted, 2016, it was 49.7. So what's that? 8.8 points above kind of last year. Really not good. I mean, I don't know. I can't understand why this rand is so strong.
It doesn't make sense, right?
Very little to me.
It's very odd. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, on company news, do you remember Choppies?
Yes, of course I remember Choppies.
Everyone remembers.
Botswana, retailer, blah, blah, blah.
Coming to South Africa, expanding, mm-hmm. listing on the South African Stock Exchange, totally fungible, liquidity, blah,
right.
All those stories.
Yeah, you were saying how great it is.
Yes, but then we sold out, remember?
I do
like
remember
kind of
that,
about
yeah.
a year into it. It did rally a bit and then came back. They reported last week, I'm afraid, not a good set of results. Headline earnings per share down 30 to 40%. I don't know how, after 2 years, or a year and a half, 2 years, they went from like kind of potentially great and great expansion story to headline earnings down between 30 and 40%. And the big issues were Zambia, Kenya, Tanzania, where trading losses were the big issue. Botswana was impacted by the stronger currency, the pula to the South African rand. South Africa, not bad. But yeah, I think, and Zimbabwe, like their kind of great market, 16%, which is 16% of revenue, actually turned positive profit in the last period. Anyway, they're still saying very difficult trading conditions. So I think we're just going to stay away from it still a little bit longer. Yeah, it's not like on a 1 year rolling PE, it's on like a 19 times, which is expensive, slightly cheaper than our retailers. Anyway, but I don't see the upside just yet, I'm afraid.
Okay.
And then a couple of other companies that reported, Pinnacle, the IT company. Do you know when you have those, remember where you were when this happened?
Yeah.
I have that for Pinnacle. So in 2014, during my investment meeting on my birthday, Pinnacle report, a news story broke that one of the directors of Pinnacle was up for bribery allegations.
Huh.
The share price plummeted. Okay, so it's been 3 years of this. Pinnacle, now here's the problem with that, because that's the kind of thing that stays with you. You know, when you own a share and bribery allegations come out and the share plummets, you don't forget it very soon. However, in the last 12 months, Pinnacle have outperformed EOH and Adapt IT by 64 and 80% respectively.
God, that's amazing.
I know. So that's really annoying, because the problem with having this memory is that you don't want to touch it, because just in case. I mean, they did have another bribery allegation in last year sometime, but nothing came of it. They were cleared, in fact. I must say, so I'm looking at the share thinking they've got a stronger balance sheet. They're outperforming my two favorite IT companies. What am I going to do with this share?
You should be in there.
I'm thinking, but it's hard to buy into a share like that. But, you know, so many things. Stronger balance sheet, debt to equity ratio, it's improved from 50% down to 19%. In fact, they've even paid a small dividend, very small, 10 times cover. But yeah, so I guess if I'm just going to follow the numbers, then I guess I should be buying Pinnacle shares, right?
Probably. I mean, those numbers are impressive.
Yeah, they're pretty good, I must say.
And to outperform EOH and Adapt IT, which you like.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right. I mean, I'm not sure they don't compete head to head, you know? So Pinnacle's very much more hardware, and they're growing into their services business, but Anyway, right. What else do we have? We have Growthpoint, the property company, also put out their results last week. A really solid set of results. A couple of difficult things, the macro environment. They're complaining about the political environment. Rentals were up 9%, but and that mostly was driven by the V&A Waterfront in Cape Town and Growthpoint Australia, which make up 20 and 30% respectively of the group net rental growth. But I think difficult times ahead. You know, the office rentals grew by only 2%, which is very disappointing. So you can imagine kind of the others, industrials and retails, grew significantly. I think for this company, it'll primarily be about acquisitions. They do have a very good track record for being acquisitive. They've also got a strong balance sheet. So this is one from a property perspective that you do want to own, you know, still dividend per share growth of over 6%. So, and that's why people buy property companies generally, because they pay out by regulation, I think it's 95% of income or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's what it is. You know, it's like a cash business where you just get in money and you pay it out, and that's how you become listed as a REIT or REIT. Let me get this right. Basically listed property.
Okay.
Real estate investment trust. That's what it stands for.
REIT.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last company I want to speak about very quickly is Brimstone. They also reported results. Also very good set of results. Dividend.
Brimstone are about to split.
That's right. Well, not right. Split, no, but they spin out Sea Harvest. Gee, you okay. Really have got a good memory.
Got you.
They're selling down their stake in Sea Harvest, which is the other fishing business we looked, you know, premier listed last week. Middle of the range equity valuation on Sea Harvest, about 3.7 billion rand, will trade probably on a forward PE of 14 times, 12 month forward, which if you compare it to kind of the other listed business, Oceana, which is on a 15, it looks relatively cheap, but we do like this business. Anyway, Brimstone, really good results from Lion and Africa, Lion of Africa, the insurance business, okay. And Sea Harvest. So the share's absolutely gone crazy. It's
cool.
Run away from us already.
All right, Auntie, anything else you want to throw in?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, Asia had a look this morning, looking a bit positive. So hopefully we'll take our cue from there.
All right, very good. And we'll keep an eye on the markets too, and hopefully have some good news for you through the course of this week. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.